Join me in prayer, please. Father, as we come to you, we know that we do not stand here because of our own goodness, our own righteousness, our own wisdom, but we are here this morning solely upon the blood of Jesus Christ. I just pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds to your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to sanctify us. I pray, Lord, that we would have a thirst for your knowledge and wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, as we continued our study of Hebrews chapter 12, we saw in verse 15 that people do not fall from grace. In other words, they don't lose their salvation. They fall short of grace. They never had salvation to begin with. And they are examples of apostates. We're going to talk more about that this morning. But there's some biblical examples that I used last week to further illustrate this point. You have the parables of the seed and the sower. Some received a saving faith, others did not. You have the parable of the wheat and the tares. Some are believers, others are not. This should cause us to look and examine our own life, just as the author of Hebrews told us in verse 15 that we should look carefully at our own life. Paul tells us to examine ourselves. The psalmist asks for God to search him. A person who professes a faith in God but has not obtained a saving or changing faith is a false believer or an apostate. John MacArthur says this, he goes, "Apostates are those who fall away from the true faith, abandoning what they formerly professed to believe. The term describes those whose beliefs are so deficient as to place them outside the pale of true Christianity. For example, a liberal denomination that denies the authority of Scripture or the deity of Christ is an apostate denomination. True Christians do not apostatize. Those who fall away into apostasy demonstrate that their faith was never real to begin with." They don't fall from grace. They never received grace to begin with. And the writer gives us a great example to look at in the form of apostasy, and that person is Esau. So join with me as we turn back to Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 14, and we'll read through verse 17 this morning. The writer says, "Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." Esau gives us several characteristics of apostasy, and we're going to look at those this morning. One characteristic of an apostate is that they do not value God, His Word, or His blessings. And as we know through the story of Esau, he did not value his birthright. This has greater significance with Esau than with us from the standpoint that, yes, he was in line for his inheritance. He was in line to be the head of his family. And as the head of the family, being the firstborn, you were also the spiritual head of his family. And so that was in their culture. Firstborn received extra blessing or extra inheritance. But there was more to that in the life of Esau. And the fact that Esau, by normal flow, was in line as a continuum for the covenant promises and blessings of Abraham. So turn with me to Exodus 3:15. It's Moses at the burning bush, and I want to illustrate it this way so you can understand the significance of it. In Exodus 3, chapter 15, it says, "Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You'll see that listed all throughout Scripture. It could have possibly, if God had not preordained Jacob, in the normal flow of things, in the normal passing on of covenant blessings and inheritance, it would have said the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Esau. It doesn't say that. But did Esau know that that was how, in a normal situation, it was supposed to flow? Yeah, he knew. He didn't value that. It's the sign of an apostate. They don't value, they don't put worth in a relationship with God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 25 as we look specifically at Esau selling his birthright. We'll start in the 29th verse of the 25th chapter. And it reads, "Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.' And Esau said, 'Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me?' Then Jacob said, 'Swear to me as of this day.' So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Think about that. Esau thought so little of a relationship with the Lord, of covenant promises, that he sold it to his brother for a bowl of stew. No value. No worth. An apostate doesn't value a relationship with God. They don't value the Word of God. They don't value their faith. It's a sign of apostate. How many times have you encountered somebody that said, "I'm okay because I went through some ceremony 25, 30, 40, 50 years ago in whatever their denomination prescribed to have a relationship with God, and I'm okay and I don't have to worry about heaven, I don't have to worry about my destination, I don't have to worry about my life," but they show no signs of faith. See, they don't value God. They just have their ticket. And all they're concerned about is that ticket in the heaven. They're not concerned about a relationship with God. They're not concerned about what God has to say in His Word. They're not concerned about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not concerned about coming and worshiping together. They're not concerned about learning. They're not concerned about finding themselves acceptable as they stand before the Lord. All they got is that ticket. That's all they're concerned about. They're not concerned about anything else. They don't value the things of God. And it is such a characteristic of an apostate that he was willing to sell his relationship for a bowl of stew. That's the first characteristic. Second characteristic is that apostates are at war with God and man. Look at verse 16 of our focal passage in Hebrews 12. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Pink, in his commentary, points out this idea of fornication and profaneness. Profanity, and we're not talking about language here, profanity is against God, the first tablet in the law. Fornication is the things of the flesh, and that's the second tablet in the law. So as we think about profaneness in the first tablet, Esau didn't respect anything of God. He'd been raised to know the things of God, to know the covenant promises, to know where he stood in the covenant promises of God, and it didn't matter to him. He didn't care. That's why he sold them for a bowl of stew, which leads to his fornication. The bowl of stew represented the things of the flesh, and he was more concerned about gratifying the flesh than he was the things of God. And you see this throughout the life of Esau. And in fact, if you think about, there is already a clear direction that you should not intermarry among Canaanite women. And they had arranged for Isaac to not marry a Canaanite woman. And here Esau disregards that with his own selection of wives, and he marries among the Canaanite people, and it grieved his mother and his dad, and he wasn't concerned about it. He wasn't concerned about the things of God. He was only concerned about gratifying his flesh. After Jacob received the blessing from Isaac, Esau wanted to kill his brother. And in fact, in Genesis 27, starting in verse 41, it reads, "So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father at hand, then I will kill my brother, Jacob.'" He only wanted the things of this world. He only wanted satisfaction of the flesh. He was a profane person. He was a fornicating person. And it is a sign of not knowing the Lord. The reason why they used Esau as an example, back in our focal passage in verse 14, the writer of Hebrews tells us to pursue peace and holiness. Well, Esau pursued neither. He didn't pursue peace with all people. He didn't pursue holiness. And you cannot pursue peace and holiness if you are a profane person against God or if you're a fornicator. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, it reads, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Of God. See, Esau wasn't defined by a relationship with the Lord. He was just defined by his sin. That's how we know Esau. We know of somebody who thought so little of a relationship with the Lord and everything that encompassed that relationship that he was willing to sell it for a bowl of stew. See, that's the danger of apostasy. Because an apostate is really, when you think about it, guilty of the sin of presumption. My parents are believers, so it's okay. That's what the Pharisees and Sadducees were guilty of, right? The sin of presumption. That they were of the Hebrew people, so it was okay. They really didn't have to worry about the relationship with God. They didn't have to look inward. They didn't have to examine themselves because, after all, they were Hebrews. It was okay. I remember when we first started the church here in town. I used to be shy about this, but I remember we'd ask somebody, gee, we'd like for you to attend church. Do you have a relationship with Christ? You know, come to the church. And so many times we got this response. Well, no, that's okay. My grandma and grandpa were members of such and such church here in town. And that's what I'm associated with. And then I started digging a little bit deeper. Well, tell me the last time that you attended that particular church. Oh, I haven't been to that church in years. I haven't attended. The assumption was that because they had a family lineage in a certain church, that they were okay. I don't think I can stand before a holy and righteous God and say, God, I'm okay to come into your heaven because my grandma and grandpa were believers. Because my mom and dad were believers. Because I had a godly aunt. See, God's after a relationship. And an apostate does not have a relationship. They die with the sin of presumption. They assume because they either had a family lineage or they had some ceremony in their life at some point that they're okay. But there is no relationship. And they don't value a relationship. They don't look for a relationship. The third sign of an apostate is that they're always late. Now, what are they late from? They're always late in their sorrow. Now, this is an extremely, extremely important point. And you do not hear this preached a lot anymore. The common idea is that God is always, always available. That God never, ever says it's too late. But that's not scriptural. There is a point of no return. And an apostate always has repentance when it is too late. You see that in the life of Esau. In Genesis 27, after Jacob received the blessing, in verse 34 it reads, "When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me also, my father.' But he said, 'Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing.' And Esau said, 'Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing.' And he said, 'Have you not reserved a blessing for me?'" You notice he never brought up the fact that he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. It was his brother's fault. Verse 37, it reads, "Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, 'Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given him as servants with grain and wine. I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?' And Esau said to his father, 'Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father.' And Esau lifted up his voice and wept." His sorrow was too late. his repentance was too late. Esau was an apostate. He was rejected by God. His tears were absolutely meaningless. I'll give you another great example. The life of Cain. Remember, Cain's mad because his offering has been rejected and his brother's has been accepted. And if you remember in that encounter, God tells him that sin is lying at the door and he needed to be master over it. So he gets advice from God. Cain didn't listen. And he ended up killing his brother. And of course, then God dispenses his judgment. And if you look at Genesis 4, verse 13, it's interesting when you look at Cain's response. He says to the Lord, he says, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. You have driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and I shall be hidden from your face." All of a sudden, after the murder, after disregarding the words of God, all of a sudden, he has repentance. But it's too late. Apostates always repent when it's too late. Now, you may say to me, "Well, you know, preacher, you're giving me Old Testament examples. That's not New Testament." Well, it is New Testament. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, you'll see where God is the same always. As it describes people that don't repent and don't follow the Lord. In verse 22 of Romans chapter 1, it reads, "Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore," here's the key point, "God also gave them up." God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. See the exchange? Just as Esau exchanged his birthright for a bowl of stew, the degenerate will exchange the truth of God for a lie so that they may continue in their sin. Verse 26 goes on and says, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do they do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." Don't care. Don't care. See, they reached a point to where God gave them up. There is a point where the lost reach, even if they profess a knowledge of God, God gives them up for that final point in life where they can't return from. They're done. God gives them up. That's the danger of apostasy. Hebrews 10, verse 26, points out the apostate's mind. Verse 26 of Hebrews 10, it reads, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice of sins." That's not written to people that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's written to the apostate. That's written to somebody that says, "Look, I'm going to intellectually acknowledge the existence of a historical Jesus, and that's going to give me a ticket to do whatever I want to do because, after all, I'm forgiven." That's who it's written to. Look at that verse again in that light. "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" Sound like Esau to you? See, it says that they trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing. Just as Esau counted the covenant promises that he stood in line for as a common thing, so common that he sold them for a bowl of stew. The apostate in the New Testament stands and they do not give any regard for the faith. They don't have any regard for the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't look at their salvation as a relationship of specialness, of uniqueness. It's just a common thing to be trampled underfoot as they continue in their sin and they show absolutely no transformation in their life. That's not salvation, my friend. That's the mind of an apostate. The mind of an apostate disregards the teaching of Scripture and they sin at will at the feet of Jesus Christ. And that never ever is acceptable. It goes on and reads, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." That's why our relationship with the Lord is so special. That's why Paul says that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We need to look inward into our life. Doesn't mean that we go on apostate patrol and go around and go, "Well, I think that person's an apostate. I got enough to be concerned about in my life." You have enough to be concerned about in your life to look inside and say, "Am I living the life that Christ has enabled me to live? Do I value the relationship that I have with the Lord above all else? Am I serving Him? Am I worshiping Him? Is my relationship special?" That's the important question of the day. Because we do not believe in a casual Christianity. As we saw in Hebrews chapter 12 earlier, if we aren't following Him, God chastises us. So we can either be chastised by the Lord and brought back into His path, or we experience the joy of the Lord. But as believers, God has an interaction with us. With the apostate, there's no interaction. There's just a disregard. There's a disregard for grace. There's a disregard for relationship. There's a disregard for His Word. That's not the sign of walking with Christ. We should, as the Apostle Paul said, examine ourselves and make sure that we are following Him in His truth. Will you please join me in prayer? Father, we just thank You for all of the wonderful examples that You've given us in Scripture. And I just come to you this morning, Lord, and just pray that we might seek you diligently. We know in Scripture that you promise us that if we draw near to you, that you'll be there for us. I just thank you for that, and I pray that we might be centered on you and your truth, that we might be focused on you. I pray that we wouldn't have a sin of presumption in our life, or we just wouldn't take our relationship with you for granted, but that we might realize that it is the most wonderful thing in the world that we can have. I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here who does not know you, who has never given their life to you, who's never turned their life over, never asked for forgiveness of sins, never recognized you as Savior and Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would become a Christian, that they would turn loose of their life and turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen.